Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for March the 16th, 2024. I have a wonderful question here from a gentleman named Luke. And he says he listens to our podcasts frequently, and I'm grateful for that. I am. And I always love it when people tell me that they're listening. Hopefully it's helping them. That's what this is all about. And he lives in Kansas City, Missouri. I lived there for a while when I was in seminary. It's a really wonderful town. Lots of fun and lots of beauty. It was really wonderful. So, Luke, I'm very grateful that you listen. Let me give you his question. He listens to me regarding meditation and things that pertain to his mind. He takes it very seriously that his mind is out of control. He mentions that in his email. And he says, I try to ignore my thoughts, as you often say, but they are loud and aggressive. What should I do, Luke? Okay, Luke. Here's the deal. Got to understand. There is nothing you can do about their volume or their consistency. They're going to keep coming at you and coming at you. It's a practice. The first thing you have to do is you have to be convinced that your thoughts are not your own. If you consider the idea that your thoughts are yours, then it'll be very, very difficult for you to learn how to ignore a great deal of the conversation that your mind wants to bring you into. So when you're convinced, when you're absolutely convinced that, hey, these thoughts are thoughts that everybody else has, maybe even that my mother and father had, and they're not even my own, they are repetitions of things that I've heard before or I've been taught to think, blah, blah, blah. If you understand that, if you really understand that, then you will realize, oh, I am living off of the land that isn't mine. It's my mother and father's. It's my heritage. It's my DNA. It's my genetics. It's my traits. Now, a lot of people would never question this. They would never think of it. They wouldn't see why you would want to question this. So for them, this exercise is not going to be helpful. But for you, it can be very helpful, Luke, if you first understand the depth and the clarity of that depth as to why you are attracted to the thoughts you have. They are the only ones you can have. And if you really understand that, oh, that helps a great deal. Why are these the only thoughts I can have? Why? Because I inherited a mind that is repetitious and can absorb and is curious, if not obsessed, with these kinds of thoughts. As you go to the second thing, you have to see the quality of them and not just assume they're your thoughts and you are forced to think them. You have to see them for what they are. What are the quality of my thoughts? What do they distill inside me that causes me to live in the harassment of my mind and my attentions? What is it they're trying to get across to me? And a lot of times it has to do with low self-esteem. It has to do with anger and hostilities and things that we have gone through in the course of our lifetime that have been anything but loving and kind. So once you understand the futility of your thoughts and you can add to that the understanding of their quality, then you go to the third thing, and that is you don't engage them. You never engage a thought. You don't need to actually engage, because when you are no longer interested in your thoughts, when they are no longer interested in you because you aren't with them, then you will start to have a sense of propriety over your thoughts. You will realize, oh, these things aren't mine at all. They don't really come from the authentic me. They come from my genetic heritage, my body, and they are traits, and now I don't need to speak to them. If you don't talk back to them, if you don't give them the attention they require, then you will start to place yourself in a different posture within yourself, a different position, where you are no longer much interested in their hypocrisy and their craziness. So when you're in that, then it's much easier for you and I to ignore what they're purporting to us and begin to watch our breath. If you can watch your breath while your mind is bombarding you with thoughts and no longer answer those thoughts with yes, no, right, wrong, oh yeah, you know, I should consider that kind of thing. If you can do that, which you can if you get practiced at it, then they will start to calm down. And in that calming down will come some insight. I help my students with tones. I have the fellow sannyasins that have worked for years on tones and textures of tones. And in the meditations I offer, they get to listen to these tones and they replace thought, because the tones are not something that are pleasurable or not pleasurable or something that they're deeply familiar with. This is why every 3 months or so they get new meditations and new tones, because their minds get connected to these tones and make a repetition out of them that makes it important for them to drop those repetitions, those thoughts, those familiarities, and then go to silence. You will find silence at the core of your breath. If you keep a rhythmic stance to your breath, if you are no longer interested in how you think, but more observant about how you breathe and how you watch your breath, you will start to see, without thought, an evolution appearing, a way, a manner of your spirit that will allow you to focus more deeply. You will have a concentrated sense of that. And when you do that, when you allow for that, that's when things start to open up. And Luke, you have to practice this all the time. You can't just do it when you feel like it or when you remember it. An authentic spiritual transformational practice has to be done 24/7, as much as you can. And in the beginning, it's rough because the mind is used to running ramshot over us and doing what it wants to do and say what it wants to say. And it makes it very, very difficult for us to focus on anything beyond the mindset of what our minds are saying to us. So you have to really practice this. It has to be important. Now, the reason a lot of people don't do it is because they don't mind their thoughts. They don't care about them. They're overwhelming. They think they haven't hurt them, or they're not going to be subject to them or have consequence for them. And these people are not aware. They're not very bright. They're the populace of our country, and there's nothing, you know, you can do about that. You have to be ready. You have to be, as Lao Tzu said, the author of The Precious Tao, you have to be sick of your sickness. And if you're not, well, then all of this will be for naught. You will never really find the way, the means, and the manner of what it is to awaken and have any kind of transformation. If that doesn't all help you, give me a call. I sent you my number. You and I can chit-chat for a moment or two, and maybe I can help you further. But I really hope this helped you in some way or another. Thank you for your beautiful question. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. and I hope you will. As always, please forgive me. Eh? Namaste.